Okay, so again, sorry, I think it may go back to Tynus Esther, which was the first time we got canceled, but I think it's been since then, or maybe before that even, because I was doing recruiting in Bechinas. Anyway, I apologize. It's been a few weeks since the last time we met, but more than just apologizing, we need to just probably remind ourselves what we did previously. You know, again, so far we haven't made that much progress. I apologize. We've done 5 prakim, and right, we can map out the 5 prakim broadly. Right, he started off diagnosing a problem that people were focusing at various points in history, either only on halacha, and they'd forgotten Yirat Shamayim completely. Then there was a correction, but like when you are veering into a different lane when you're driving, right, you usually overcorrect. And if you have to veer into a lane, it's very hard to do it at the exact proportion. So usually you overcorrect. So people overcorrected, and then they were doing only Yirat Shamayim, and they weren't doing any halacha. And obviously his point is that, you know, you need some kind of a combination. In addition to making that historical point, he also spoke about what is Torah, and therefore what is Torah Lishma. And that was his big thesis, that Torah is Torah for Torah's sake. Intellectual, just to understand Torah. That is in and of itself a goal. And the goal is not the same as the goal of Yirat Shamayim. The goal of Yirat Shamayim, he says, is to be closer to Hashem, to cleave to Hashem. He says, it's a wonderful goal. But that can't be what the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is exclusively. So if that would be the case, we could just pick one Mishnah, one pasuk, and just repeat it over and over again like a yoga mantra. We'd get into some kind of a meditative state, and that would be the highest goal. But obviously, there's no source that indicates that's the goal for Talmud Torah, right? All the goals, all the makoros that speak about trying to know kultur, kula, knowing this and that. Why is that important if the whole goal would be just dvekus? And the answer is no, because that's not the whole goal. Okay, and then the last thing that we saw as the pendulum swung back is, but even though he's very strong in Torah and it's not just Yira, but you shouldn't think the Yira is not important either. He says the role of Yira is the prerequisite. That was the last thing we saw. He used the medrash of Yiras Hashem Otsaro, the idea that Yira Shamayim is the thing which creates the receptacle. It's the kli kibul that allows you to, so to speak, sustain or hold on to the Torah, right? Torah is something that's spiritual, it's metaphysical, right? Just because you learn it doesn't mean it will stay with you or impact you. You have to have a pre-prepared clay kibul in order for that to be able to be sustained, right? And again, the easiest mashal is if I would pour water or anything else into a bowl, doesn't matter how well I poured it, no matter how much I cared, no matter how much I loved whatever I was doing, if the bowl has a crack, the bowl has no bottom, it's going to be a disaster. Similarly, he said, Hashem is our Father. A loving Father wants to give His children as much as possible. Hashem would love to give us everything, but He can't make us into a kli kibul. That only we can do it for ourselves, and that is what Yira is. That's what Yira Shamayim is. Okay, that was basically... And then the last thing we saw at the end of Parakeh was he pointed out that it seemed like a riddle because the Lushan was here. He was quoting, there were sources that talked about, where is it, the quote? Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosin chachma el mi sheyesh lo chachma. It's a Gemara Masechta Brachos. Hashem only gives chachma to someone who has chachma. So said Rav Nefesh HaChaim, it sounds like it's a, you know, that's a riddle. I won't give chachma unless someone already has chachma. Well, then how'd they get chachma in the first place? So his answer was, no, Yirat Shamayim is a form of Chachma, and he had sources that prove that. It's just not the same as Torah itself, as Halacha itself. Okay, fine. Now we're ready. Okay, any questions on that? We're on the same page? Okay, Didi, you got it in your new fancy Sefer?
Yeah.
Perikvav, here we go. Okay, any footnotes or anything else you want to, you know, shout out, and, you know, no problem. Happy to have any...
This is the first time I've used
it. I know, you want to make a bracha? Shachianu. Okay, actually, if we all benefit from it, it could be a tova meitiv. Okay, lezos amis, sezu hi haderech amiti. You should know what the truth. Asher bazeh bachar hu yizbarach shemo, shebechol eis shiyachin adam atzmo lilmod. You should know my true advice. The best advice I could give you is, whenever you're about to learn, roi lo hisyashev kodem shiyachil. You should first think about. I'll call upon him Zman Muad, at least for a little bit. B'yiras Hashem Tehora Petahara Salev. L'hisvados Al-Chataso Mi'umko Deliba. To think about Yirat Shamayim, purify your heart, and even confess whatever sins may be lurking in the depths of your heart. Now this is taking everything that he had previously said a whole big and practical step forward. He had spoken more genuinely and abstractly about the idea that Yiras Shamayim is a prerequisite. But this is going one step further and also giving a concrete plan. He's saying, no, every time you sit and learn. I don't know if he means every Seder, or at least the beginning of every morning Seder, but he's saying, before you start learning, spend a moment in, you know, contemplative Yiras Shamayim, however that looks to you. Whether that's just self-reflecting, whether that's trying to be mechazik yourself in something in Emunah or Yira, or even thinking about a particular thing you did wrong the day before, the night before, and doing a form of vidui. And why do you do all this? Kadesh Tehei Taraso, Kedosha Utahora. Because that will impact the Kedusha and the Tahara of the Torah that you learn. V'chaven lehis dabek b'limudo bo b'torah. And that you should have that intention that you will be able to have this uplifting impact from the Torah. Bo b'hakadosh baruch hu, connecting to Hashem. Hainu lehis dabek b'chol kochosav l'dvar Hashem zu halacha. You want to be successful in your learning, and through that, connect to Hashem u'bazeh, hu dibuk bo yisbarach mamish kivyachol. And if you connect to Torah, then this is something that he's mentioned before, but he is reiterating it. Again, there's a lot of repetition, but again, I think because he just feels like things are so important they need to be underscored, that when you connect to the Torah, you are actually connecting to Hashem himself. Ki hu yitbarach viritzono chad, right? That's an unbelievably, you know, powerful, and probably could write a whole Kabbalistic book or books on that one sentence. Hu yitbarach uritzono chad. You can't separate Hashem and His will, as it says in the Zohar. Okay, it's a Kabbalistic, clearly this is a mystical idea, but you can separate Moshe or Didi from their respective wills, right? There is Moshe, the person, and then there is what Moshe wants, right? It's not unconnected, but they're not identical either. I can separate you, right? You can exist before and after those Ratzon. Says the Zohar, says Rechaim Volozhiner, that's not true when it comes to Hashem. Right? And again, in a certain sense, you can say, yeah, well, that makes sense, because with you, I could point to your arms, your legs, your hands. There's something physical I could point to, so that's you, and that's your Ratzon. But obviously, in Hashem's case, there is nothing else. But I think it's even deeper than that. He's saying the essence of Hashem is the moral will, the spiritual will, that Ratzon. So if you can apprehend that, if you understand that, you're not understanding something about Hashem, rather you are engaging with Hashem himself. It's not something removed. Again, if I understand what you want, right, what should I do for the summer? Should I go to this camp or that camp? Should I stay in yeshiva or go to camp, right? So there is, or I want to do this, right? That's I can learn about you, but it's not you. It doesn't encompass you. It's something else that's a derivative of you. But somehow, and I'm not sure as a human being we can totally understand this, when it comes to Hashem, it's not that. When we understand what Hashem wants, then that is Hashem himself in his somehow undiluted essence. Again, as much as a human being can understand Hashem. And therefore, what's the point of all that razzle-dazzle metaphysics? Is the upshot is that you should know when you're learning, you're not learning, you are basically engaging with Hashem, right? If you read a book written by whatever your favorite author is, right, you may enjoy the book, you may feel like you're getting to know the person, but unless you're delusional, you wouldn't say, I know the author. Right? But if you have learned Torah, then you have met the author. Yes?
The point that he was arguing with, right, the Hasidic straw man,
right,
like probably Baal Tanya, makes a very similar point, doesn't it?
Yes. So the answer, it's an excellent ha'ara. I can't remember if we mentioned this previously, but I think that when you start learning this, or certainly before you learn it, the impression is that the Baal Tanya and the Nefesh HaChaim are very far apart. I think it's much more nuanced. I have a book on my shelf, which I'm embarrassed to say I've never read. And each year, I think this will be the year. But, you know, I'll chalk that up to many things I don't do that I should. Rabbi Lam, Zichrono Livracha, his PhD dissertation was on Nefesh HaChaim. It's called Torah Lishma. And I think a significant... We have it in the library if you want. I think it was... I'm not sure what language he wrote it in originally. Probably English. But I believe it has been published in both languages. I have the English version. Let Your Heart Not Be Impressed. I have the English version. I have no interest in reading the Hebrew version if there's an English version available. That's my rule of thumb. Certainly by anyone in the 20th century or, you know. So, yeah, it's called Torah Lishma. Yeah, that's it. That's the one I have. Yes, that is Yeshua Didi. Yeah, that's exactly the cover that I have. It's sitting on my shelf at home. I look at it most days and don't do anything about it. But if I'm not mistaken, I believe that that's something that he discusses. You know, that in fact, there's a lot of overlap. So I'll tell you my... So just, come on, Mark. Not too late. Take a sheet. The I wouldn't say my layman's, but or maybe my layman's or my non-expertise answer to your question, other than you're trying to impress you by pointing out a book that I knew about, but I've never read, so it's not so impressive to begin with, is that to some extent it's sequential or chronological. According to Nefesh, to let's say Baal HaTanya, or this Hasidic approach, it is the high, that is the highest aspiration you should have while you're learning. And I think Nefesh HaChaim feels like that's only something that should happen before you're learning, not during the learning. Now, keep that in the back of your mind, but with an asterisk, A, am I right? And B, if even if I am, is there more to it than that? Didi, anything in your fancy footnotes?
No, I think you just have to say, yeah, it's at 0 point.
Oh! Baruch Akivanti, I love it. Say that louder for the recorder. Yes, I'm right, yes.
Now that it's time, we've got more about how they're going to be explained throughout the Tanakh.
Yeah, oh, okay. Okay, good. Good. Okay, let's just finish the paragraph here. We're in the first paragraph, Mark, finishing up after the Zohar. V'chol din halacha mitorah hakadosha, hu ritzoni yitbarach. Right, that's an important point. Something that I actually sometimes comes up when I interview kids. Right, another term for halacha is Hashem's ratzon. Because it's not just law. If we believe that it comes from Hashem, then even if we don't understand exactly always why, this is what Hashem wants. That's His ratzon. Shekein gazra ritzona shehekoa hadin. Right, that's why Hashem said to do it. Kosher apostle. Now, do I know why this animal is kosher? That animal is apostle? Maybe not. But all of these things are Hashem imposing a moral will on something. This is good, this is bad. You should do this, you should not. And therefore, because, again, this is the subtle metaphysics, because Hashem's will and Hashem's essence are not separate the way they are for people, there's who Mark is and what Mark wants. They're not identical. Right, they're connected, but they're not the same thing. With Hashem, he's saying from the Zohar, Hashem and His will are one and the same. And the upshot of all that, practically, is therefore that's why it's when you are learning Torah, you're actually engaging with Hashem. As I said, that was a mushal. I think this is the first time I thought of it, but I kind of like it. Right? If you read a book, even if you read 10 books from the same author, you have your favorite author, and he's got a series of 10 books. Right? You might have loved the books. You might feel like you know a lot about him, but you wouldn't say you met him. Unless you're delusional or a liar and trying to show off and pose for your friends, right? But you can say, I've met some part of Hashem. I've met Hashem. Where? How? When? By learning Torah. Because that's not just His will and some derivative, a byproduct of His will. The will and Hashem are the same thing, and therefore I've, in a certain sense, met Hashem. Now, what's the practical point here? Again, let's not lose sight of that. That's the first chiddush of this chapter, is some kind of a lashon before you learn. Again, whether it's each Seder, each Chavrusa, or maybe once a day, I don't know, whatever you're comfortable with. But he's recommending practically, programmatically, some small amount of time where you have some meditative, contemplative sense of Ches Rosh HaNefesh, Vidui, if you can think of a particular sin that you did recently, and even if not, just a general sense of getting in the groove. This is, I'm about to meet Hashem. You know, game on. Okay, next paragraph. Vagamhu, Vagamim. Osek b'divri agara. You should know, it's not just halach and gemara and lamdas. Even as divri agara. Shame behem nafkusa l'shum din, and there's not going to be any practical difference in whatever you're learning. Nevertheless, gam kein hu davak b'dibur shakarish baruch hu. That's also Hashem. Ki haTorah kula. This is going to be the point, I think, of pretty much the most of the rest of the chapter. This is an important kind of broader hashkafic point. You should know all of Torah. B'klaleha uprateha v'diktikuheha afilu ma'asha atamid katon shoa mirabo. Not just everything in the Gemara, the Halacha, and the Agada. even the conversations that Rebbeim and Talmidim have, even if it's little kids, small kids, any question, this is an amazing statement. Hakol yatsa mipi v'yitbarach b'moshe misinai. Wow. That's an insane statement. Hakol yatsa mipi v'yitbarach l'moshe misinai. Now, where does he know that from? Like, where, what gives him the backbone to make such an extreme claim? So he claims it's in Chazal already. Where here I have in my footnotes, even though they're not as fancy as Didi's, the Gemara there says, Hereo Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe, Dikduke Torah, etc. Umasha Hasofrim Atidin L'Chadesh. Right, the famous Gemara about how Moshe went to the Beis Medrash and he saw people being Mechadesh things, and Moshe's like, where did this come from? And you know, Hashem tells him, oh yeah, that's what I told you at Sinai. Okay, so that's that one makor. Or he quotes a medrash, a Gemara Masechta Brachos, which also has a similar idea. Kulam nitnu l'Moshe Sinai. Everything was given to Moshe at Sinai in Koheles Rabbah, in the Yerushalmi, in Vayikra Rabbah, and then he actually here in the body of the text he gives you one actual source. Now let's see, let's decide, let's analyze for ourselves: is this exactly what Rav Chaim Volozhiner said, or something close but not exactly? What's the source? He can quote quite a few makoros if you're interested to look them up. But the one that he actually gives you here is Shmos Rabbah. Perek Mem Gimel, right? Just we recently, this is from just not that long ago, in Sefer Shmos. Ketov Lacha et Hadavarim Ha'ela, right? Moshe is told to write all these things down. Says the Medrash, B'shar Shenigla Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Sinai Litein Torah LiYisrael, when Hashem is revealed at Sinai and wanted to give the Torah to the Jewish people, Amar LaMoshe, he said to Moshe, Al HaSeder, in good order, Hashem was a good teacher, he did it in the right order, methodically, methodologically. Mikra, the Psukim, Mishnah, Halachos, Agados. He told them everything. Shenemar, V'yadabra, Elokim, Eskol, Hadvar Ma'ela. Afilu, now this is the punchline of the Medrash. Afilu Masha Talmud, Shoel L'Rav. Adka. Now, does that mean that the people heard all this? That doesn't sound likely at all to me. I don't even know if that's what the claim is. But that somehow any thought that someone has that would be considered a Torah thought, every possibility is told to Moshe. Now, it's hard to fathom that. Another source which makes this somewhat similar vein, the Ritzvan Erevin quotes from the Baal HaTosfos, or what he calls the French rabbis, the Chachmei Tzarfat, but he means the Baal HaTosfos, who explained that when Moshe went up to Sinai and he learned the Torah, Hashem not only taught him every halacha, not only taught him how every single thing could either be Asur or Mutter, Tamei or Tahor, and gave him 49 svaras in both directions. 96 svaras altogether. Now, it could be that that's the Gemara, the Tosfos' way of saying, anything you could think of is one of those 96. And if it's out of that, then you're just an idiot. No, you know what I'm saying? There could be some things, I guess, that are so bad, they're just so off, they're just wrong. You know, they're not part of, not even a Torah thought. They're just beyond. They're, you know, they're, you got to get 2 feet in. This is the NFL here, okay? 2 feet in bounds, right? You can't, you know, tippy toes, but still, you got to get them in. Football. It's a sport. Americans play it. Okay. Anyway, not Canadian football or English football or European football. Okay, Viter. Velood. Elegamba osa eisha adam osek betora lamata. Okay, now, this is like Rav Chaim Volozhiner is just like piling on like haymakers here. Like these are just like awesome ideas, mind-blowing ideas. What could be more mind-blowing than anything you ever thought of, anything you ever asked in Shir, having been taught to Moshe? How do you top that? Lo'od, I'll do you better, said Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Ki gam ba'osa'e sha'odam osek b'tara lamata. Anytime you're learning down here, kol teva shemotzi mipiv, every word you say, hein dvarim yotzim kav yachol gam mipiv mizbarach ba'osa'e z'mamish. Hashem is saying that exact thing up in Shemayim. Now, as crazy as that is, there's a lot of people learning at the moment, right? Not just you and me. There's people in Karen B'Yavna, there's people in Merkaz Harav, there's people in the Mir, there's people in Brisk, right? There's people even in America, steiging and learning. Yes, yeah, Cleveland especially entails. And everybody's learning, not in Detroit though, that's for sure. No, even in Detroit, the Motown City. Detroit. Okay, everyone's learning, and yet somehow he has this incredible statement. Now, come on, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, you're like, how can you say that? That's crazy, right? He says, I'll tell you how. The Gemara Masechta Gittin says it. How so? Famous sugya pilagish begiva. The pasuk says, v'tizne alav pilagsho. She did something that got him upset. What did she do? So Rav Evyatar Amar Zvuv Matzala. He found some kind of a fly That was disgusting. Rabbi Yonatan Amar Nima. It was some kind of a hair, a pubic hair, or something that indicated that she had been betraying him. Ashkeche Reb Evyatar Elio. So sometime later, after that machlokes, Evyatar, this Reb Evyatar, he saw Eliyahu Anavi. Amar Lei says to Eliyahu Anavi, My Kavi Kuchabricha, what was Hashem doing at that moment? I'm sorry, what is Hashem doing now? Amar Lei, Asik Bepilagesh Begiva. Hakarsh Baruch is learning the Sugya. Am I coming, or what is Hashem saying? Tell me what's the truth. So he says, actually, you know what Hashem is saying? Hashem is quoting you guys. Ev Yosar b'ni kachomer, right? Ev Yosar, my son, said it was a fly. Yonasan b'ni kachomer. Yonasan, my son, said it was a hare. V'hainu mipnei she'rav Yosar, Rav Yonasan, osku b'ni. So what do you see from this with Chaim V'loshner? That's the Gemara. You see from this that because Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yonasan were Rabbi Yonasan were askubin and bin and pilagish begiva, pa'oto eis gam hu yisbarach shana divrei mamish. Now that is a mind-blowing Gemara, but it's clearly, I would say, a big leap of Rav Chaim V'loshner to assume that if it was true by Rav Evyatar and Rav Yonasan, it's true by you and me. That's a little bit of a leap. But even the Gemara itself is quite a huge thing. It's a mind-blowing Gemara. But, you know, whether it's meant to be taken totally literally or somehow figuratively, but Rav Chaim V'loshner thinks it's not special to those particular Chachamim. Anybody who's learning Torah, so to speak, you are not only plugging into Hashem, you're activating some dimension of Hashem, you know, learning, so to speak, along with us. V'hu yitbarach shmo u'dibur ochad. And one final point for the day, he says, Hashem and his words, which again are his expression of his moral will, are really one. How do we know that? U'mufursh v'torah k'dosha v'mishnah Torah says in Devarim, Perek Lamed, la'havat Hashem elokecha. And what does the Gemara say that means? In Devarim, you have to love Hashem. Tekai al esek ha'torah. Right? Learning Torah is a way of showing, or I would say developing, love of Hashem. And after all, the Pasuk says at the end, v'seifa of that same Pasuk says, l'davka ba. Right? And again, I've said this before, both to guys here, often it comes up in interviews with 12th graders, right? You can't love someone you do not know, and the only way we could love Hashem is to get to know him. And since he's such an awesome, cool dude, to know him is to love him. Or dudette. You prefer that?
No.
Okay, good. Dude or dudette. Lechein, Omar David HaMelech, Alav HaShalom. Let's finish up. Famous vort, this is a great vort to know. Torah v'li, Torah spicha. May Alfei Zav HaChasef, right? So, usually we just say from, David is saying, steiging and learning Torah is better than all the gold and silver in the world. That is true. But he makes a diuk. Amar ki libi sameach ba'amali b'torah ha'kadosha b'rovoz ba'alosi ha'libi shi toras picha. But says Rechem Lezer, why does David HaMelech in Tehillim express this idea of I love Torah, it's better than all the money in the world? Why does he refer to it as toras picha? He's not saying my mouth. He's saying picha means Hashem, right? He refers to Torah as toras picha. That's interesting. So he says, why is that? Shekol teva mamash mea Torah, shine osek bakeit, hakol yotze vagam ate hi yotzes mipicha yizbarach. Says Rechaim V'loshner, this is a remiss to the idea that we're saying, that any time a person learns, Hashem, as it were, is also saying along those words. So it's Torah spicha, because when I'm learning, Hashem's pi, so to speak, his mouth, is also saying the words of Torah. Ulechein, let's just wrap this up, we'll conclude. Kol Torah, now he adds a theological point based on all of this. Until now it's kind of mystical or metaphysical. All of Torah, Kedushasa Shava B'lishum Chilik V'shinik Chal Chasa Shalom. You shouldn't think that Brachos is less Kadosh than Bav Mitziah. You shouldn't think that Gemara is more Kadosh than Machshava. Every part of Torah is equally Kadosh. Ki Hakol Dibor Piv Yisbarach Shmo Mamish. It's all literally, so to speak, again, whatever that means. I don't know. I can't exactly know what it means. I can just tell you what he's saying. It's all coming out of Hashem's mouth. V'imchisar sefer Torah os achas, and that's why such a famous idea. If the Torah is missing even one letter from it, even from a word that's not even so important, mi pasuk aluf timna, right? What is that? One of the, you know, the when they're giving the families of Esav, right? Aluf timna, aluf this, aluf that, right? It's one of the most bizarre parts of the Torah. If you're missing even one letter, so we don't know who some of the chieftains, I think they translate it, right? The chieftains of the various tribes of Esav, the whole Torah is pasul. No less than if we were nechzar os achas me'aseres hadibros or from Shema Yisrael. And in fact, he points out the Rambam, he's quoting the Rambam in the Yud Gimel Ikarim, right? One of the Rambam's 13 principles, Hayisod HaShemini, is that the whole Torah is from Hashem, and the Rambam there says, the whole Torah, I don't just mean the good stuff. I don't just mean Shema, I don't just mean the aseres hadibros. He says, he gives examples of a few psukim, including Aluf Timna, who's a Pilegesh of Esav or whatever, right? So, all of this is showing how significant every part. Let's see if you can. We can re-engineer the backwards. every part of Torah is from Hashem. Somehow when we're learning, we're connecting only to Hashem, or activating Hashem, so to speak, talking. And all of that was a derivative of the first thing he said, which was not to forget, programmatically, we're about to start afternoon Seder. Before we sit down to learn, a moment, it could be 15 seconds, it could be a minute, whatever you need, 2 minutes, whatever you want, or less, to think about what I'm about to do is not Stam. It's your Shemayim, it's Torah, it's Kedusha, it's connecting to Hashem, nothing less. Nothing less than that. And prepare yourself mentally, and then, since we're not Hasidish, or the Chacham Lashon isn't, then you put that off to the side, you roll up your sleeves, and you try to understand the sugya intellectually as best as you can. But with the awareness in the back of your mind, that the, what gives that ultimately meaning is because it is a chelik of Hashem himself. Okay, good to be back. Thank you.